Senate Bill 29, an act to provide that certain offenses are violent offenses for purpose of parole eligibility.
Senate Bill 29 has had its second reading and is up for final consideration. Are there any remarks?
Madam President.
Senator Sutton.
Thank you, Madam President. I bring this bill on behalf of the Department of Corrections and the State Affairs Committee. What I'm going to do is just try to inform you a little bit about this. There's some additional language that's adding to the code to help clarify. Under the new parole system, for inmates who committed their crimes on or after July 1st of 1996, an inmate must serve a higher percentage of their sentence due to their initial parole date if their crime is a violent offense as opposed to a non-violent offense. The definition of a violent offense is found in Section 22-1-2, Paragraph 9 of South Dakota Codified Law, and it's short, and if you bear with me, I'll read it so you can understand what is currently there. The crime of violence, any of the following crimes, or an attempt to commit or a conspiracy to commit any of the same, murder, manslaughter, rape, aggravated assault, riot, robbery, burglary in the first or second degree, arson, kidnapping, felony sexual contact as defined in 22-22-7 and 22-22-19.1, or any other felony in the commission of which the perpetrator used force or was armed with a dangerous weapon or used any explosive or destructive device. Under this definition, there are crimes that are not specifically listed in the definition as a violent offense, yet it can fit the general definition of a violent offense as I just read. The language results in conflicting determinations of a crime status as a violent or nonviolent offense for the purpose of parole date calculation. In one recent case, the court believed the crime would have be considered violent, which requires a 50% of the sentence be served prior to parole. And the DOC considered the offense nonviolent, which requires 30% of the sentence to be served prior to parole. So there was some conflicting there. So what we did in committee and Department of Corrections did was try to help specify what those additionals needed to be in statute. So this bill removes the reference to 22-1-2 paragraph 9 for the purposes of determining an offense that was a violent crime for parole eligibility. The bill then lists specific crimes under which the definition of a violent crime, and the additional crimes are child abuse, felony sexual contact with a person incapable of consenting, vehicular homicide, vehicular battery, felony stalking, photographing a child in an obscene act, assault under 22-18-26, which is sliming, and felony simple assault as violent offenses for the purpose of parole date calculation. This does away with the problems created by the vague language. As proposed under Senate Bill 29, a crime is a violent crime for parole purposes if it is one of the listed offenses. If it is not an official, if it is not an offense listed, it will be considered a nonviolent crime for parole eligibility. This will provide consistency between the court's intent regarding sentence and expected time to parole and the actual parole date calculations. These changes do not, let me repeat, do not impact the definition of violent crime under Section 22-22-1, paragraph 9, for any purpose other than parole eligibility. So it was the intent of the department to list additional in there so that there would be an actual listing, so there was no, so that they actually knew if it was a violent crime or a crime of violence. So with that, Madam President, I believe there will be an amendment to this bill. But I would stand by and be happy to answer any questions that any of my fellow members may have.
Thank you. Senator Evers.
Thank you, Madam President. I have an amendment at the desk.
Senator Evers moved that Senate Bill 29 be amended as follows on page 1, line 13.
Madam Secretary, I would waive the reading of the amendment. Everyone should have a copy at their desk.
Does any member object to the waiving of the reading of the amendment? Is there a second discussion on that motion to amend?
Thank you very much. There's been a slight amount of confusion I've noticed on the floor. The amendment, of course, refers to the original bill and not the version in the Daily Reader. So the lines are different in those two versions of the bill. Basically, the amendment would take out the two crimes of vehicular homicide and vehicular battery in terms of extending a sentence for purposes of parole as a violent crime. I would urge you to consider that these are not violent offenses for that purpose, and they're not listed under the appropriate code section in that regard. So we are taking them out, and the Department of Corrections is in support of this amendment. Thank you for your consideration.
Further remarks on the motion to amend? Hearing none, the question before the Senate is Senator Everest's motion to amend Senate Bill 29. Those in favor say aye. Opposed, nay. The amendment is carried. Further remarks on Senate Bill 29 as amended. Senator Ketzel.
Thank you, Madam President. I have a question of the sponsor.
State your question.
Senator Sutton, could you tell me how many current inmates this will have an impact on?
Senator Sutton, do you choose to respond?
I would love to respond to my fellow colleague, but I do not have that number, and if somebody else in the committee does, I would refer to them.
Does any member choose to respond? Senator Everest.
Thank you, Madam President. As in all criminal laws, whenever we enact a criminal law, we can never enact it retrospectively. All criminal laws are prospective in nature, and so when a bill takes effect, it affects only people who would be affected by a sentence of a judge as of July 1 in the year 2001. What's nice about this particular prospective aspect of the Constitution is that in this case it does give the judge some leeway in adjusting a sentence knowing when parole eligibility dates are set. It's also an advantage of our good time system.
Senator Ketzel,
I'd be happy to elaborate. I hope that answers your question.
Senator Ketzel, you have the floor.
Thank you, Senator Everest. I guess I look at this, and the way I view this indirectly is that what we're doing is we're extending a sentence that's already on the books, and I would request a fiscal note.
Senator Everest.
Thank you, Madam President. With all due respect to Senator Ketzel, fiscal note would have absolutely no impact and is unnecessary in this case. Let me try to explain one more time. Only someone who would be...
Okay. Please continue.
Thank you. Only someone who would be sentenced on or after July 1st of the year 2001 would be affected by this particular bill. It is not an extension of sentencing nor an extension of parole. It's a clarification of what is a crime of violence, something that's already been set up in statute. So there's really no fiscal impact that we would be able to determine.
Senator Ketzel.
Thank you. I would disagree with you, Senator Everest. And the reason for that is because by switching from and making nonviolent crimes and violent crimes separate, you look at what the multiply factor. If we're currently using 0.30% that you have to serve, and we're going to up that to 0.50%, obviously we're going to be putting people in prison for a longer time. There must be a fiscal impact of some sort. I just would like to know what that is.
Senator Everest.
Thank you. If I may take the opportunity to speak one more time. Another way to look at this, Senator Ketzel, is to look at the definition of crime of violence under sections 22-1 to subsection 9. And let me read it to you just briefly. A crime of violence is any of the following crimes or an attempt to commit or a conspiracy to commit any of the same. And it would be murder, manslaughter, rape, aggravated assault, riot, robbery, burglary in the first or second degree, arson, kidnapping, felony, sexual contact, as defined by 22.22.7 and 22.22.19.1, which, by the way, would be a child under 16, or any other felony in the commission of which the perpetrator used force or was arrested with a dangerous weapon or used any explosive or destructive device. Actually, the purpose of this particular bill coming before the Senate and the legislature as a whole was to define whether, indeed, vehicular homicide or vehicular battery were crimes of violence. they don't have an actual intent with them. Nobody really goes down and becomes involved in an accident on purpose. So that the negligence that's involved doesn't have the specific intent often associated with a crime of violence. However, if someone did take a car and purposely run over an individual, we'd probably charge them either with murder or attempted murder. And in that particular case, there would be no doubt that the automobile was a dangerous weapon. So, especially considering the amendment that is before you, what we're doing is clarifying for the courts that crimes of vehicular battery and vehicular homicide are not crimes of violence. Whenever there's a gray area, which was potentially happening in setting parole, sentences were being defined variously according to an individual. We want a consistent good time statute. We want one that applies evenly to everyone, and we need to make sure that that's clarified. I hope that explanation helps.
Senator Ketzel,
I have a question of Senator Evers. Under the current system of people, we know what their sentence is. If we change this law, will people that fit into the new category that we are creating of violent crimes here, will they serve more time than they presently do?
Thank
you, Senator Evers.
No, they won't, because we cannot retroactively apply any criminal law. And that's the Constitution of the United States and incorporated into the Constitution of the State of South Dakota.
Senator Ketzel.
Thank you, Madam President. Senator Evers, if somebody is convicted of what we consider here a violent crime today, and if they have to serve as a multiplier 30% of their sentence, if they commit that same crime on July 2nd of 2001, will they serve more time than the person that committed that crime today?
Senator Evers.
Thank you. No, because, for instance, if you were charged last year on July 1st with murder and you are serving a sentence, you will receive a determination of when you're eligible for parole. And it will be considered a crime of violence. Next July 1st, murder will also be considered a crime of violence. And the same statutory time break that's given to you under our good time statutes will be given. If there is something on the books that would be indeterminate at this particular point in time, whether it was a crime of violence or not, it would still give the judge the opportunity to shorten the sentence and therefore change the parole eligibility. Parole eligibility is determined not so much by the crime as by the sentence that the judge imposes.
Senator Ketzel, you still have the floor.
Well, I appreciate your words, Senator Evers, but I just don't feel as though my question has been answered. If you have a higher multiplier, you have to have more time served. Even using a basic math formula, it tells you that. And I just don't see how you can possibly say there's no fiscal impact at all to this and use the reason because, well, it's up to the judge. Well, it's up to the judge to sentencing, I understand that, but if the multiplier for the time you have to serve is upped, you're going to have to serve more time. It's just that easy. And I think that there is a fiscal impact, and I would like to see a fiscal impact statement.
And that is a formal request, Senator, for
yes,
a fiscal.
Yes, Madam President.
Is he supported? He is supported, and a fiscal impact statement will be applied to Senate Bill 29 and its pending amendment.